Welcome to AM Best Audio.
In the pursuit of insurance sales excellence, most professional salespeople sometimes struggle to silence the noisy chatter of their inner critic, which often appears as rationalization, justification, or self-criticism. In his book, The Anxious Salesman, A Field Guide to Transform Your Inner Circle into a Championship Coach, author Sheldon Snodgrass explores how one's inner critic not only undermines performance, but also saps joy and peace of mind. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV. And joining us now to discuss that and other findings from his book is Sheldon Snodgrass, owner of SteadySales.com. Sheldon, welcome. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. I love it. And I don't know if you caught yourself, but you made this beautiful Freudian slip where you said, transform your inner circle into a championship coach instead of inner critic. And it makes me realize that would that all of our inner circles could be our championship coaches, right? So beautiful. It's good to be here. And I appreciate the invitation.
Well, thank you again for joining us. And Sheldon, can you tell us about your book and how the idea for it came about?
Well, the idea came about, like probably like so many other books, through years of struggle and capturing the struggle in journals and in various formats that I had along the way. And frankly, it was decades of spotty earning and inconsistency. And I knew I had good sales skills because I enjoyed plenty of high praise and high income, but I could never figure out how to integrate all of these trainings and conferences and experts that I would consume to help me not only achieve higher, more consistent earnings, but a sense of joy and peace of mind and ease with what I was doing. So about 10 years ago, the tide started to turn in terms of my experience, this up and down erratic experience. And I just wanted to capture all of this hard-won wisdom so I could pay it forward, if you will, and share that with other sales folks who may be sharing a lot of those struggles. In fact, I think every professional salesperson that I've spoken with, particularly in the insurance space, struggles to a certain degree with the voice of an inner critic that can sap a lot of power. Yeah.
Well, can you tell us more about the inner critic? Can you define it and tell us about some of the common ways it can undermine or sabotage an agent's performance?
Well, you know, the word critic, we could substitute for a limiting belief. We could substitute it for a primal state. You could substitute it for lots of things, but it's that voice that can creep up and sabotage us. Think about our failures of will or failures of intention. I mean, everybody who's made a birthday resolution or a New Year's resolution or attempted to try something big is familiar with that voice that can creep up and say, you'll never do it. You failed the last time. Why even bother? It's the sound of justifications and rationalizations. Maybe we have a once gleaming goal, for example, something ambitious that we set for ourselves, a revenue target, an acquisition target, and things get in the way and we begin to minimize the importance of that goal. Perhaps that's how the critic can show up. It also shows up in the form of self-flagellation, right? For not doing enough, being good enough or big enough or strong enough or whatever the enough is. Yeah. So I think that was the first part of your question. What was the second part?
Just looking at how it can undermine or sabotage an agent's performance.
Well, if I think instead of the abstract, very practically, you know, when I do my coaching at agencies, and I work with agencies large and small across the country, one of the groups that I focus on are the customer service reps or account managers, not just the producers, right? So an account manager might feel that they don't have the skill to bridge a service conversation into a sales ask. I call it bridge from task to ask, right? So we're having a conversation about your P&C, and the agency might also offer employee benefits or commercial lines or, and those conversations, if a rep isn't feeling confident, or they have a critic that says they don't know enough, they're not licensed, it's not my job, they're going to say no, right? We have all these limiting voices that come up. That's the sound of the critic that stops us from making a simple ask. There's an example.
And what are some of the other common rationalizations and justifications that the inner critic uses, and how can agents identify and counteract them?
Okay, say that again. What are some of the other justifications and rationalizations?
Yes, that the inner critic uses.
So let's just think of that inner critic as that chirping voice in the background. For instance, it came up for me as I was thinking about this interview. I was very much looking forward to it. And all of a sudden, the critic started saying, make sure that you're sharp and make sure that you're polished. And what if you get a good, a difficult question? What's the best way to answer this question? And it started creating a level of anxiety. Right. So that's about performance anxiety. And an agent who's going calling on a large account, perhaps, or they're working on a merger or an acquisition. I mean, all manner of things where a performance anxiety would arise. And that performance anxiety, it's not hard if we just quiet ourselves for a moment to hear things like the what if, or you're a fake, or you're a fraud, or you're a phony, or what will they think? All sorts of catastrophizing. Right. That can really come up. And when I noticed that, and I mean, you're a lovely, wonderful, warm person. And when I started thinking about my performance anxiety and how I didn't want to screw this up, I was able to use the tools in my book, at least in a couple of the chapters, and just bring that back down, right? And just bring that voice down and allow the voice of the coach to arise. And the voice of the coach is the one that says, this is a conversation. You're the author. You're having a friendly interchange with somebody. The stakes are low, right? And just calming that voice that would otherwise leave me feeling agitated. Anyway, that's a longer answer than you'll probably bargain for, but there you go.
Perfect. When you look at that noise and the negative dialogue that the inner critic has, how does it create barriers to building strong relationships with clients and influence agents' decision-making process and risk-taking behavior?
Well, risk take, when we say risk taking in insurance, right? It's like, am I going to take this risk, right? It's really an underwriting question. But we can also think about it in terms of personal risk that we want to do, that we want to take, maybe putting ourselves out there, expressing some vulnerability. I mean, going back a few moments ago to the example I gave, and this would work for, this example is valid, whether it's your producer we were talking about, that is an outside sales professional, or a CSR, right? So imagine that inbound call, and the CSR knows that it's important to bridge a conversation to life insurance, let's say, right? And said, hey, Lori, well, we're done with your home and your auto. I noticed that we don't take care of your life insurance. I mean, my coaching says, ask their seven words. I noticed that we're missing this thing. May I ask why? There it is. That's an entire chapter of one of my other books in seven words. But if a rep is, the inner critic arises and says, you don't know life insurance. What if they already have life insurance, right? They imagine all sorts of objections. And of course, objection handling, my other chapter in a different book handles that in six words. But that's the voice of the critic that would stop them from even beginning a conversation, right? And so that customer hangs off the phone with their insurance, their life insurance still at their employee, unbeknownst to them that it goes away when they leave that employer, right? Or something like that. That's a small example. Maybe another example for a producer is they're so consumed or worried about closing a sale, they don't want to reveal any vulnerability, or maybe they don't know, or maybe they're unsure, maybe they need to check. And so it might cause them to put on airs, perhaps. That's one way.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So what are some practical exercises, techniques, or affirmations that agents can use to silence their inner critic?
I love that you mentioned affirmations. Affirmations is a science unto itself. In fact, early in the book, I talk about how affirmations can be cheesy schlock, right? I thought that they were crap, and they mostly are unless we use them properly. But that's a technique I don't want to speak of quite yet. But every chapter in the book, and there's 10, right? These titles are on accountability, on gratitude and forgiveness, on finding flow, on I'm forgetting the chapters in my own book, but each one of these chapters has exercises. So one of my favorites, on anxiety, it's the first book. I mean, the first chapter I got from my Army days. I was fourth generation Army. I was raised as a soldier, as the son of a soldier, went into the Army myself. And during my M16 rifle qualification test, and anybody who's fired a rifle before had some coaching on that knows breathe, relax, aim, squeeze, right? And so when we have that sense of anxiety, in fact, Lori, remember I said that when I thought about our interview on Monday and Tuesday, I felt that anxiety rising. I went through breathe, relax, aim, squeeze. Breathe means just lean in, notice it, right? We have to have awareness. And that's the thing about the transforming the voice of the critic into a coach is it requires silence. The critic screams and hisses and yells. The coach whispers and speaks softly, right? The coach isn't that drill sergeant. I talk about that in my favorite chapter, chapter 9, called On Sucking It Up. But the first step is breathe. Feel it. Don't try to fight it. When we have a negative emotion or negative experience, we want to get rid of it. But breathe says you lean in and you feel it coursing through your body. You cannot willpower a negative emotion away. There's no amount of willpower that can get you to not feel anxious when you're feeling anxious. Relax is we recognize that we've been here before. This does not define us. This too shall pass. Aim is we pick an object of gratitude and forgiveness simultaneously. With all this anxiety, I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful I have food on my table. The tiniest thing to the biggest thing, you tune into gratitude and it creates space. And then forgiveness for some lapse, for some experience that we have. There's no judgment. There's self-understanding. This happens not instantaneously, but very quickly. So breathe, relax, aim in that last step, squeeze. That's one right step forward, right action. And we can only take right action in the space of a clear mind. That's what I believe.
That's wonderful advice. That's an exercise.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your personal journey of being a soldier, a sales rep, a coach, an entrepreneur, a competitive athlete, and how you have worked to replace your inner critic and change that to the dialogue of a championship coach?
Well, let me just say this for all of us who think that we can flip the switch from critic to coach, right? So forget the idea that we turn on one and turn off one and turn on the other. Better to think of a rheostat. That's a light dimming switch, right? And we dim up and down and up and down. And so it's a practice. I was just saying that after 10 years ago, when I kind of turned my career around and my experience around, was able to integrate these practices, that doesn't mean that I never have that voice arising, right? What it means is I'm much more able to see it quickly and disarm it and not have it derail my plans or my intention or my willpower. And so when you ask me about my journey, a couple of highlights come out that have to do with discipline and focus. And there's this great saying, and it's attributed variously to lots of famous folks, including Mark Twain and Winston Churchill, that comparison is the thief of joy. And my triathlon coach, when I was working very hard to be a competitive athlete, she said, when you compare yourself to others, you give away your power. So I thought about that on a race. And as soon as someone is, they got a better bike, they got better gear, they're looking more ripped, and they're passing me, I immediately go out of my race and my tempo and my data, and I start looking at them and thinking about them. And that's not my race. That's their race. Right. So part of the journey is to recognize when we have that comparative mind arising. You know, there's another poet, Max Ehrman, says, when you compare yourself to others, you will become vain or bitter, for always there are greater and lesser people than yourself. And that's true with agency owners who are looking at maybe getting acquired, or they're looking at large brokerage firms that wishing that they could be like them as opposed to some small mom and pop or whatever it is. Right. So anyway, that's how my journey informed this book, just constant opportunities to explore the voice that's within.
What are some of the other challenges agents might face in that journey?
Maybe forgetting that it's a practice, right? A practice. I mean, think about the highest performers in any sports or any performance on. I mean, whether they're a dancer, a singer, a musician, they always practice. We say they've achieved mastery, but you never arrive at mastery. That's like saying you've arrived at wellness. You've mastered wellness and fitness. And so you can stop eating well and stop exercising, right? You can't. So part of the journey is to recognize that it's a practice. It's a daily practice. And the ups and downs start to flatten a little bit, right? We don't stay in that space as long, that space of comparison, that space of self-doubt, or that space of overwhelm, right? Those are all the voices of the critic who says, you'll never get it done. There's not enough time. They do it better. Why should I bother? All of that stuff. Yeah. I don't know if that answered your question, Lori.
Absolutely. In what other ways can agents maintain discipline and focus in their daily routines to achieve success?
I'm going to give you a great substitute, all right, for the word discipline. So once sometimes, in fact, let me just ask you, when you hear yourself saying, I just need more discipline, or if I had more discipline, or if only I had discipline, or if you don't, you can't do this because you're interviewing me. If you heard someone saying that, would you imagine that's the voice of the critic or a coach? You need more discipline. If you only had more discipline. Well, we know discipline is important to a coach, but how does that leave you feeling? If you say to yourself, if I only had more, or I just need more, does that feel like you're lacking something?
It does.
I mean, it does.
Yes.
Right? It feels like a criticism. That's the critic. And so what I want to say is, imagine you substitute the word structure. So your question was, how can an agent have more discipline and focus? Or I forget what the other word was, but discipline was one of the words in their lives. And we all say we need more. We ought to have more. If only I had more. And if you substitute the word structure, that can take some of the sting out, and it's easier to apply. So if I say to myself, what are some ways I can cultivate more discipline? That's harder than saying, how could I build more structure in my life to support this goal, right? To hire this person, to train this person, to role play, to whatever it is, to prospect more to this sale. So now it's structure. I can do that. That's a calendar. That's a clock, right? So that's a simple tool that I love. Okay.
And Sheldon, what do you hope readers will take away from your book?
I love that question because, I mean, there's the selfish thing, which I hope you go to theanxioussalesman.com and buy the book and participate in this free web training that I created on there to help people start this journey. But that's a very selfish outcome. The macro level, more magnanimous hope is that you buy the book and it sits on your shelf and gets reviewed periodically, like a nice tonic, like a book of poetry, because each chapter, and there's 10, stands alone. And the intro of the book explains how to get the most out of it. A chapter a day, open the table of contents and whatever calls to you, because we all will struggle with the voice of the critic. Here they are, not being good enough, the keys to success, on finding flow amidst our ADD, sucking it up, gratitude and forgiveness. These are things that rise and fall in our life. So my hope is that people go to theanxioussalesman.com, participate in that, but also have the book as a faithful companion on their bookshelf right next to them.
Wonderful.
To soothe the savage beast, as it were.
Absolutely. Well, Sheldon, this has been so informative, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Okay, that's it. It went by so quickly. I could spend another hour with you doing this.
Absolutely. This has been so interesting. Such a fascinating book. Thank you again. That was Sheldon Snodgrass, owner of SteadySales.com and author of the book, The Anxious Salesman, a field guide to transform your inner critic into a championship coach. For AMS TV, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.